Today's Shir Mesechta Erechin Daf Chaf Hei, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Hei Amar Aleph, six lines from the top. Eim Chashvim Chadoshim. Tana Rabbanan begins the Brisa. Menayin Sheim Chashvim Chadoshim Mahegdish. How do we know that we do not count months when we count the number to be paid the stay achuza? Because as we learned and will learn, the number is a sela and a punyan per year. So how do we know that, let's say, there are 5.5 years left, that it should be at a rate of 6 sela and 6 punyan, not 5.5 sela and 5.5 punyan? Tamalaymer says the Gemara, we learned this from the Pasuk, V'chishalo ha'koin as ha'kesef al-pi ha'shonim ha'noisoris. Teaches us the price of shona at the mechashev. We count it in years. V'yat ha'mechashev chadoshim. We don't count it in months. On the other hand, says the Braisa, Menayin shemata roitza lasas chadoshim l'shona oisa. How do we know that we want to treat this not like a year? We don't. And I'll explain this in a minute. Hey chidomi, ki goin de agashe b'palga de arv v'tamni. As we learned in the Mishnah, the halacha is, if there are only 2 years, if there's less than 2 years left to the time when Yovel is coming, that we don't allow it to be redeemed at the rate just of 2 sela and 2 pidyon. How do we know that if it's a couple of months into that 48th year, we don't say it's still like there's 2 years left, and therefore we should be allowed to be paid it? We say that since it's already a couple of months into the year, it should be considered that we don't have 2 years left. So there's a machlokes rishonim, exactly what is the halacha in such a situation where we don't have 2 full years left until Yovel. Rashi's opinion is that under those circumstances, if somebody wants to be part of the Steyachuza, as we learned and we'll learn in a moment again, you have to be paided with the whole 50 shekel kesef per the area where you could plant a chaymes sairim. The Rambam says that Hegdish has the right to make a decision. If it's to Hegdish's benefit that we should insist on the whole 50 shekel, then they have a right to insist on it. But if it's a situation where Hegdish will never get such a significant sum of money, and therefore it's the Hegdish's advantage, they should at least get the 2 shekel better than nothing, then they'll take what they should take that, and Hegdish has the right to decide what to do. Says the Mishnah Magdus, Sodeyu Bishas Hayoivel. So this is the fundamental halacha of being Magdish Estei Achuza. So the first halacha the Mishnah teaches us is that the dinim of Magdish Sodeyu is only when the Yovel is in place. When Yovel is not in place, then these halachas aren't applicable. What does it mean when Yovel is in place? It means when all of Klal Yisrael, or most of Klal Yisrael, are in Etz Yisrael. The halach is, Noisim bezera choymes oirim chamishim shekel kesef. You, for every piece of land on which you could plant a choymes oirim, 30 saw a car of barley, every piece of land on which so much can be planted is equal chamishim shekel kesef. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, it has nothing to do with the real value of the property. This is the formula that the Torah set forth. And as the Emek Dover explains, why does the Torah speak about barley? The answer, as we see in this Gemara, in this Mishnah, in the Gemara, is that it's quite possible that if somebody is magdish this property, he'll never keep the property. The property will end up by Kohanim, or as we're going to learn a further shiurim, by others. So in order, so the Torah is trying to be as realistic as possible. And realistically, people will not plant wheat on this type of a property, which is a grain that requires a lot of cultivation, a lot of work. They're more likely to plant barley, which is cheaper and doesn't need so much work. Says the Mishnah further, Hayasham nekoyim amukim asar tvachim. if there are ditches that are 10 tefachim deep, or slime gvayim, asar tefachim, or rocks that are 10 tefachim high, einim dadim imai, then they're not counted together with the rest of the field. Pachas mikan, if they're smaller, them dadim imai, they're counted with the rest of the field. And there's a very big machlokes rishonim. What does it mean that it's not counted together with the rest of the field? Rashi's opinion is that the formula that we just established for how a steyachuz is measured applies to these rocks and ditches as well. Just that they're not measured together with the rest of the field, they're measured separately. As we'll see, that's how Rashi will learn the Gemara, which we'll discuss in a couple of moments. Other Rishonim say that what the Mishnah means to say is that whereas the flat part of the land is measured at the formula stated at the beginning of the Mishnah, these parts of the land are measured at their value. There's another opinion that says that these parts of the land are b'chlal not kadosh. They don't become kadosh at all. And there's a fourth opinion, they do become kadosh, but when we appraise the value of the property, we appraise it at the formula stated at the beginning of the Mishnah. And after we appraise it at the formula stated at the beginning of the Mishnah, we then, these other pieces of land, the ditches, etc., get redeemed along with them, even though they're not independently appraised or measured at all. The Rashba discusses, and many other Rishayim discuss, that Amishta only speaks about the depth of these ditches, etc. The Mishnah doesn't discuss the width. So what's the halacha by the width? So the Rashba actually says, it's a machloikis in the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says that the width is different opinions. One opinion is for tefachim, another opinion is anywhere up to 10 amos. The Rashba himself seems to say that the measurement should be 4 tefachim wide, because the Rashba says that we find by Shabbos, when we speak about the Rishuyos for Shabbos, an area that's 10 tefachim deep by 4 tefachim wide is considered a separate Rishus HaYachid. So we see that the shear ought to be 4 tefachim wide. The Miri says that it's 3 tefachim wide is already considered an independent area. But the Rashba also goes on to make a very important point. The Rashba says that when we speak about these ditches being considered separate, as we'll continue discussing in the Gemara, says the Rashba, it's only when these ditches don't serve a purpose of watering the rest of the field. But if they serve the purpose of watering the rest of the field, then they play a real vital role in this field, and they will be counted together with the rest of the field. And actually, the Mefarshim use this point that the Rashba makes to answer a question. Because the halacha we know is, we've quoted this Mishnah, that says that if somebody is magdish a field, the bar of the dust, the pits in the field, also become kadosh. So we say they are part of the field. Why over here are they not part of the field? The answer is that the bar of the dust that we always speak about that become kadosh together with the rest of the field represents a significant part of the field. And since they represent a significant part of the field, they become kadosh with the rest of the field. Whereas, when we speak about the nekayim of our Mishnah, and we'll understand this better soon in the Gemara, they don't serve really very much of the constructive purpose, and that's why they don't become kadosh together with the rest of the field. Continue the Mishnah, Dishu Shnayim V'shol Shonam Fnei HaYovel. If somebody was magdish the field 2 or 3 years before the Yovel, so the rate of redemption is nice and subtle opinion in Lashonah. And the explanation is fairly simple. The Torah, as we just learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, sets forth a formula of 50 shekel kesef. In 50 shekel kesef, there are 49 slime and 48 punyonim. Because each punyan makes up a shekel, a sela. And since you have 49 years from one yovel to the next yovel, so if you divide 50 slime over 49 years, you have a selim punyan per year. Actually, it's not really true. You don't have a selim punyan per year, you have a little less, because there are 48 punyanim in a sela, and we're talking about 49 years. So it should really be a little less. So why is it a selim punyan per year? So there are two explanations given. The simple explanation is, we're dealing with such a difficult fraction, so Chazal just rounded it off a selim punyan per year. Another explanation is that when you have a seller, and as I just explained, the seller has in it 48 punyanim, but when you change 48 punyanim into a seller, there's a fee charged by the money changer. And the fee that's charged by the money changer is another punyan. So to account for that extra punyan, that's how we end up having 49 sloim and 49 punyanim. The interesting question that the Meches Chinuch discusses is when we speak about 49 punyanim, which as we just explained, it really ought to be 49 sloim and 48 punyanim. How does the halacha look at that? How does the halacha look at that 49 punyan? Does the halacha look at that 49 punyan as really part of the redemption? Or is it something considered external? And he brings a very nice raya from the Rambam. Because as we're going to learn in the Mishnah in a moment, the halacha is that if the owner of the field is the one that's paid the field, that's redeemed the field, he has to add a chaymish. And when the Rambam quotes that halacha, he says he has to add a chaymish on the entire number, even on the 49 punyanim. Now if we were to say that the 49th punyan is considered external, you wouldn't have to add a chaymish to it. It's a raya that the 49th punyan becomes part of the entire number. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, v'im Omar, if the person who's coming to be paid to the stay achuza says, Hareini noisin dvar shana b'shana, I'm going to pay an installment paying year by year, ain't shomeloi. We don't accept that. El noisin kula kechod. He has to pay the entire amount at one time. And the Brisk Rav has a beautiful way of explaining this din of the Mishnah. He says as follows. He says it's certainly inconceivable that one would think that you could be paid it every year with a selim punyan. Because what that would result, he says, is a very, very unacceptable situation. You paid it, but you only gave a selim punyan. It becomes hegdish, and you paid it again next year, and so far, back and forth, back and forth. Untenable situation. So Brisk Rav explains as follows. As we learned and will learn in Mitzvah Hashem, the owner of the Stei Achuza is anxious to be paid there himself. Because if he's not going to be paid there himself, and Yovel comes, he loses it forever. It goes to the Kahanim. But we're dealing perhaps with a situation that the owner, that the original owner of the Stei Achuza, doesn't have the funds. So what does he want to do? He wants to keep a hold on the property. And what does he think? That by giving a selim punyan per year, he keeps a hold on the property that nobody else can be paid it, that it shouldn't go to the Yovel. And maybe that should accomplish that much, teaches us the Mishnah. Either you paid it properly, or forget about it. Continues the Mishnah. Echad ba'alim ve'echad kol adam. So why most Rishonim explain this din, is that the din of the formula that we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, of the 50 shekel kesef for every piece of land where you can plant a chayim sairim, applies both to the owner and both to everyone else. That's the pshat that most mefarshim learn. There is an interesting pshat that the Sfas Emes quotes that says that there are Rishonim that say that this formula that the Torah said, what is the formula for being paid the Stei Achuza, was only said to the owners. Everyone else doesn't have this formula. What does the Mishnah mean with the words Echad Ba'alim Ve'echad Kol Adam? What the Mishnah means here is the din that we said a moment ago. That when you're paid, you have to be paid in its entirety, says the Mishnah, it makes no difference who's being paid it. Pidgin is only when you're being paid it entirely. So says the Mishnah, but we're going to learn like most Rishonim, that everyone has to use this formula. If so, ask the Mishnah, Ma ben Ba'alim Kol Adam, how do they treat it differently? El Shabalim Ma'isim Chaimish, Kol Adam Ma'isim Chaimish, only the owner have to add a fifth, not everyone else. And the Maral, in his Sefer Gur Aryeh, gives a very beautiful explanation why the owner has to add a chaimish unlike anyone else. He says, a person has an attachment to something that's his. So if I have a steyachuzah, and for whatever reason, I was magdish to steyachuzah, so I have an attachment to this field, and therefore I'm going to be anxious to be part of the field. And since I'm anxious to be part of the field, it's worth more to me, and I have to add a chaimish. Whereas a person who has no connection to this field, he could buy any field. He doesn't have any specific attachment to this field, he doesn't add the chaimish. Says the Gemara, Tana, the Braisa teaches us, when we speak about this formula, we speak about a korzera v'loy kor tfuah. A man that takes the plant not to reap, because you could reap a lot of tfuah off one seed. One seed could produce a lot of tfuah. So when we speak about the number, we speak about the seed, not about the tfuah. Mapoilus yad, when it's planted, when you drop the seeds by hand, v'loy mapoilus shvarim. Two pshatim in the Rishonim mapoilus shvarim. One is that they used to put bags on the side of the animal and make holes on the side of the bag from which the seed would drop. Or another pshat is that they had a wagon attached to the back of the animal and there were holes on the bottom of the wagon and the seeds fell out. So when you're planting it with that way, you're going to use up seeds in a much smaller area because the seeds spill out much more quickly than when you're just dropping it by hand. Tani Levi. Levi explains, Loimova, we're not referring to a piece of property that's planted, that's seeded very densely, because it's going to be a much smaller piece of property. Loimedic, not when it's spread out very far, but in the average. So we learned the din in the Mishnah. Hayisham Kaim Amukim, if there are deep pits, they're measured by themselves. Ask the Gemara, V'lakachubab B'nafshe, what's the point? Why, if, and Rashi explains, and we're going to explain according to Rashi, if we're saying that they're measured and the same formula is used, so what's the point? And as the Mefarshim say, if Rashi is saying that we are part of them all together, that we're using the same formula, so why shouldn't the Gemara say that we should be matched them all together? We should be measured all together if we're using the same formula according to Rashi. So I saw the Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer is, if we're going to measure it together, we'll only measure the top of the ditch, not the height going up to the ditch. Furthermore, if we're going to be magdish it, the question is, can you be magdish a half a field? And be paid a half a field? And the answer is that you can. But now the Gemara is suggesting, if it's not, perhaps it's not, it's included with the field, and you can't split it. The chitema, kivin delava base kor, that these ditches don't measure the base kor, loyav akachi, then the din of our Mishnah doesn't apply. Says the Gemara, that isn't true. Because Vatanya, the Torah used the extra word soda, matam aloyma, the fishinema, zerach oyma soirim, the chamisha sheker kesef. Only we would think, elashegdish kenyanazer, when you use such a piece of property, menayel rabbis lesach, vachatzi lesach, much smaller pieces of property. So why can't you be part of them and just measure them according to the formula that we're learning and be part of them according to that formula? Answers the Gemara. Our Mishnah speaking specifically about ditches the full of water. The lav b'deiz rinenu. So they're useless. They're not full of water that you can use for irrigation, obviously. And therefore, they become totally irrelevant to the field if they're 10 tefachim deep. So what we're learning now, according to Rashi's explanation, is indeed if they won't have water in them, they're measured together with the rest of the field. And says the Gemara, Dekanami, that's the kind of ditches that are being discussed in our field. The Klani Dumi the Smoim. Now, racks are somewhere you can't cultivate. So must be the ditches. Shmami no. Ask the Gemara. If these ditches are such property, or such land, that is useless, so even if they're less than 10 tefachim deep, they ought to have the same halacha. Answers the Gemara. Hani Nagdim the Aramikri, Shadid Aramikri. They consider part of the land, as Rishonim explained, there is no piece of property that's completely flat. You're always going to have some ditches and some elevations. And as long as they're not significant, they're included as part of the piece of property. We learned, Hegdish Shtayim V'Sholosh, if you're Magdish 2 or 3 years, you're pointed at that formula. Tana Rabbanan quotes the Gemara Braisa, for Nigra Me'erkecha, Af Min HaHegdish. Teaches us the Braisa. Shem Hegdish Shana Shtayim. If you were Magdish it for a year or two, Inam Lailacha, and during that time, Hegdish didn't cultivate the property at all. El Shahis Lafonov, it just laid empty in front of the Hegdish, Nois and Selapunyan Lashana. So that means, if I was Magdish to stay a chuzah 10 years before Yovel, and for the first 2 years, it laid fallow by Hegdish, it doesn't make a difference. When I'm Magdish it, and there's only, when I'm paid it, and there's only 8 years left to Yovel, I only have to give 8 sel and 8 punjin. V'mama, Hareni Noisen, we explained this thing already in the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, Menayim Shomru Balan, from where do we know that the owner said, Hareni Noisen Dov is Shana B'Shana, I'm going to pay year by year by installment. Shein shem lehem. We don't accept that. Tamalaymer v'chishav lo yakoyin as a kesef. Ache kesef kula kechad. It has to be one entire sum. Furthermore, we learned in Mishnah, echad balam v'echad kol adam. Ma ben balam v'kol adam. In what way are they different? Shabalam nois nuchaymish. The balam must supply a chaymish. V'kol adam ein nois nuchaymish. Need not give a chaymish. Says the Mishnah, Hagdisha, if somebody was Magdish a Steyachuzah, Vagala, and then he was Paida that Steyachuzah with the formula stated, Eina Yotzim Yad B'Yovel, it doesn't leave his, he keeps it even though Yovel comes. Gala B'Noi, then teaches us the Mishnah another din, that if someone's son was Paida the property, the Halach is, that even though we learned, that if somebody else was paid to the property, then when Yovel comes, that property goes to the Kohanim, that's the Echuzah who go to the Kohanim. The son who was paid it, the halacha is, it goes back to his father. But Goyal Abinah, if someone was Magdish to stay Echuzah, and his son was the one that redeemed it, when Yovel comes, Yotzel Yovel B'Yovel. However, Goyal Acher, if someone else, not his son, or the Magdish himself, or Echman HaKroivim, or a different relative, the Goloi Miyadai, and they are the ones that redeem it, the Loch is Yoitz L'Kahana B'Yoivel, that when Yoivel comes, it doesn't go back to the original owner, it goes to the Kahana. Says the Mishnah, Goloi Echad Min HaKahana. So let's get the story. I was Magdish Steyachuzah, I wasn't paided, a Kohen was paided. And that Kayin, as Rashi explains, is from the Mishmer of the week when Yovel comes. That the halach is that all the Steyachuzas, we'll see which ones, go to the Kohanim. And that Kayin is from that family, Farei Tachas Yodai. And now he has it, says the Mishnah. Lo Yomer, this Kayin can't argue. Harvi Yoitz L'Kohanim B'Yovel. It's going to my family. I'm part of the family of Kohanim, of Mishmer Kahanim that's going to get it. Verei Techshyadi, and I'm sitting with this money. Harei Shali, I should be able to keep it. That is not the halacha. Rather, says the Mishnah, Eliyot Metachas Yadai, he loses it. Meschalakas L'chal Echav Kahanim is divided amongst all the other Kahanim of that Mishnah. He'll get a portion, because he's part of that, but he doesn't keep it exclusively. And the Masham uses this Mishnah to discuss a very interesting Shaila. He says there was an individual, Baruch Hashem, a wealthy individual, who set up a tzedakah fund for poor people. And then, unfortunately, the world turns. He became a poor individual himself. So he goes to the Gabon and says that I should have first right to that money, because it's my money. So the halacha, says the Masham, and he uses our Mishnah as a raya, is that once it's in the hands of the Gabon, then it's not yours anymore. Once, as like our Mishnah says, that once the Yovel comes, it's not yours, it belongs to the whole Mishmer, and you can't say you have a claim to it. And therefore, this person, even though he was the one that set up the whole fund, is treated the same as all other aniyim. What the Marsham does say is interesting. He says, we know, and I think we've discussed this halacha previously in our shiur, the halacha is that if someone intends to give tzedakah, he's obligated to give the tzedakah even though he didn't give it yet. He pledges, it becomes a neder. So let's say you have an individual who intended, who pledged to give tzedakah for a fund for poor people. And before he could actually give it to the gaboim, he loses his money, and he unfortunately becomes a poor person. He could use that money. Because since he hasn't given it to the gaboim yet, and he is unfortunately an ani, he could take that money for himself instead of giving it to the gabai. Tanabon begins the Gemara. It says in a braisa, Im lo yigalas asodim ba'alim. If the original owners aren't paid it, the machas asada gizber, if the treasury sells it lish acher, teaches us the brisa la'acher, that the rule, that if it was sold to someone else, and now yoivel comes, it goes to the kahanim of that mishnah as we just discussed, and not to the original owner, for loy leben. That doesn't apply to a ben. A ben is not considered an acher. A ben is not considered a stranger, says the brisa. At the Aimer Achav Loy Leben is the son who is the individual who's not considered a stranger. Maybe the brother is the one that's not considered the stranger. So Aimer Ish, when the Torah says Ish, Haray Ach Omer. The brother is considered like anyone else. Haman Ikayim Achar Loy Leben. The only the son is treated differently than everyone else, not anyone else, not the brother. Ask the Brisa itself. Why do we consider the son that has this, that will have this unique halacha, that if he's the one that's poida, it will go back to his father by yovel, not the brother? Says the Brisa. Ma bani saben, I consider the son, shekein kom takas aviv liyida ulevet ivri. The Torah, in Pasuk Mishpatim, says that if someone buys an Amma Avriya, and let's say, to say a simple example, she was sold for 6 years at $600. So every year of service is equal to $100. So if she wants to redeem herself after 3 years, it would take $300 to redeem her. The Torah speaks about Yiyud. Yiyud means that the owner could choose to marry her, and the Kesef Kedushin is that remaining $300 that I discussed. And the halach is that not only is the owner of the Amma Avriya have this right to do Yiyud, but her son, his son as well. That's one place where we see a son has this strong connection to the father, Eved Ivri. The halach is that Eved Ivri, also in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah teaches us, works for 6 years. If the owner dies during that time, so if the son, if he has a son, the Eved Ivri transfers to work for the son. If there are other Yarshim, the Eved Ivri doesn't work for them. So since we see the special closeness between the Eved Ivri and between the son and the father, that's why here too we say it's the son that has the special rule, no one else. So ask Taisvis, why don't the Gemara say a simpler example? That if somebody dies and he has a son and a brother, his son comes before the brother to yarshin him. So Taisu says, the Gemara didn't give that example for a very gishmaka reason. Taisu says, a son and a brother are both yarshin. A brother could be yarish. A son comes before a brother. Whereas, by Yiyud and by Eved Ivri, it's not that a son comes before a brother. A brother is excluded and a son is included. That's why the Gemara speaks about situations that the brother has no connection to versus Yerusha, where a son, where a brother is a Yerush, not just that as close as a son. Ma banisa ben, she can come tak sovi liyidil avid ivri. Ask the Gemara, ad rabba, ma banisa ach, should we include ach, she can come takas ochiv liyibim. That brother does Yibam, a son doesn't do Yibam. So the Mefarshim ask, why would we think that Yibam is stronger than Yiyud Eved Ivri? So I saw a beautiful explanation. And the Tziv says this explanation. The Tziv says like this. The two explanations. First I'll say it in the Tziv. One is that Yud, either the father does or the son does. Right? Every. Either he works for the father or he works for the son. He can't do both. Yibum, a woman can be married both to the to the first brother and then to the second brother. So that's why the Gemara had a havamina that Yibum is stronger than Yiyud and Eved Ivri. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that when we speak about Yibum, the Torah says that the brother should marry the Almana, and the child born in that marriage, in that Yibum marriage, Yokum Hashem Echav Ameis. So we see that the result of that marriage, so to speak, resurrects the brother. That we don't have by anywhere else. And that's why the Gemara assumes that maybe the fact that a brother does Yibum and a son doesn't do Yibum makes it closer. Answers the Gemara the obvious question. Klum yesh Yibum el b'makim shein ben. If there's a son, there's no Yibum. So obviously, being Yibum doesn't make you closer. Hayesh ben. For if there is a son, ain't Yibum. Ask the Gemara, why does the Gemara have to come on to this lumdus? But typically, we could have said a simpler argument. Da'achi tarti. A son has two ways how he's connected to his father. Yiyud and Eved Ivri. V'acha chavda. And here there's only one. Answers the Gemara. Mishun de Eved Ivri mahay perka nami hu de nafkalei. Klum yashibam el b'makon shein ben. Which means as follows. The Torah teaches us that there's one person that besides the actual owner, the Eved Ivri is going to work for someone else, for a relative. But the Torah isn't clear who is that relative. The Torah isn't clear who that relative is. How do we know who the relative is? Because we say, just like the son does Yiyud, he's that relative. So the Gemara asks, maybe it's the brother, because the brother does Yibum. So the Gemara says the same teretz, Klum yesh Yibum el makom shein ben. So the whole din of Eved Ivri is based on this svara. So that's why it's not considered an independent raya of the closeness of a son to a father. So our Gemara, however, based on the Limud, says that the son is the closest relative to the father, and therefore the son is the exception. That even though the father, the Magdish, wasn't the one that was paidit, it was the son who was paidit. The din of going back to the Kahana B'Yovel doesn't apply. It will go back to the father. So there's two tshuvas that I saw that, so to speak, contradict each other based on this Gemara. Divrei Malkiel discusses such a situation. There was somebody who sold a property, Reuven sold the property to Shimon. And when Reuven sold the property to Shimon, he made the following stipulation. I'm selling you the property, but if Hashem helps, because I'm lacking funds, if Hashem helps and I'll be able to buy back the property, you must sell me back the property. And Shimon bought the property with that stipulation. Now, Reuven Baruch Shem has the money. And he goes to Shimon and says, I want my property back, I'm paying you. So Shimon says, fine, but I'm making a stipulation now that if you come back to a situation where you need to sell the property, I should have the right to buy it first. So the Divrei Malkiel says that wouldn't be acceptable because Shimon isn't in a position at this point to make conditions because he has to give back the property. That's what he agreed to up front. He can't make conditions when you're fulfilling a condition. But why would be the halacha where the original sale took place with such a condition? Which means, Reuven sold the property to Shimon, telling Shimon that if I have the ability to buy back, you must sell it back. And Shimon says, fine, but if you'll sell it another time, again you should sell it to me. And Reuven agrees, then Reuven would have to fulfill the agreement. And now that's exactly what happened. Reuven sold it to Shimon, got money, bought it back, and now needs to sell it again. But he wants to sell it to his son. So the question is the son considered as if he's selling to someone else? And Shimon says, you're not allowed to sell it to anyone else but to me. Or is the son not considered like someone else? Because Al-Gemara says that the ben is considered connected to the father. So the Divrei Malkiel says that the son is not considered connected to the father. Why? He said, because specifically in our Gemara, where our Gemara has a limud connecting the son to the father, that we said on top of the Braisa, lish acher la'acher, that's why there's a din that the son is connected. But it's unique to this halacha. It can't be applied elsewhere. But then I saw another tshuva from the Sefer Ateres Seifrim. He discusses such a situation. There are two partners that own a two-family home together. One partner owns one floor, the other partner owns another floor. And when they've bought the house together, they make a deal. They make a deal with each other that should they ever need, that each one has a right to live in his apartment. But if they want to rent it out, they have a right to rent it out only to the other partner first. The other partner has right of first refusal. And now indeed one of the partners doesn't want to live in that apartment, but he wants to give it to his son, not to the other partner. Is the son considered an extension of the father, or is considered somebody else, that the other partner has right of first refusal? He says that the son is considered an extension. Maybe because since a father has an obligation to give his son a place where to live, maybe we could say that's the difference between the two tshuvas. Continues the Gemara. By Rava, Baravu, Bas Machatam et Sadalavia. What would be the halacha if it's a daughter who was the one that was part of the field? Kivin delin yibam. Since when we speak about yibam, ben abaska dadi ninu, a son and a daughter treated ben gadadi mukma, so then she should be treated like a brother. A dilma kivin delin nachla bas ki makam ben, that a daughter, when there is a son, ki acher damya, is not considered, because she doesn't get the Yerusha, the son gets the Yerusha, loy mukma. So mefarshim tashma, the Tanin Bei Shmuel, kol shu acher b'makom ben. Everybody's considered less of a relative than a son. For hai, and this girl, nami b'makom ben ki acher damya. So why did mefarshim explain the Gemara as follows? Certainly in a situation where the son, where is the son? The Gemara is teaching us the daughter is not going to have that right, that if she's part of the field, by Yovel goes to her father, not to the Kahanim. The question that remains is if there's only daughter. So since there's only a daughter, so the daughter is the Yairish. There's no son. One will be the halacha. So they go on to say as follows. Let's say the father at one point had a son, who left over a son, it's a grandson, and a daughter. Since Midaraisa, the grandson, yashins before his aunt, so again, the girl would not have this ability. The question that remains, that the Mefarshim said that the Gemara hasn't addressed, is when there is only a daughter, or daughters, what would be the halacha? So, another question. Bari Rav Zeiri, Isha Mimamad Lo Sada, which means like this. A woman has nixsimalug, which really means that the property is hers. And the nixsimalug on steyachuza. And she's magdashit. And we're learning based on our Gemara that the Torah gives one exception. So the question is, who is the one that's considered the exception? Is her husband considered the exception? Or her son considered the exception? Again, let's read the words of the Gemara. Barab Zaira, Isha. Do we say, since the halacha is, we know that a husband yarshin is the wife, so then the husband is the one that has this rule, that if he's paided, it goes back, not to the kahanim? Because we see that the son has more of a chance. We learned in Masechta Bechoris that a husband only yarshins a wife in assets that are available when she dies. A husband even yarshins roi, assets that are going to come. So we see that gives the son a stronger relationship, teiku. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is as follows, and it actually resolves a very big problem. The question is as follows. What is a stronger halachic concept? Is the halachic concept of ishtik gufoi stronger? Or the concept that since a son is the stronger Yairish, that take precedence. Which is a stronger halacha concept? And actually, besides that this is a nice way of explaining the Gemara, it resolves another difficulty. Because there's a machlokes. The din that a husband yarshens a wife, is it a din midaraisa or only with the rabbanim? So if we say it's midaraisa, our gemara is understandable. But if we're going to say that the din that a husband yarshens a wife is only midrabbanim, so how could the gemara think that the son who's a yarish midaraisa should take second place to the husband who's only a yarish midrabbanim? The answer is, it's not because of Yerusha. Of course, when we speak strictly about Hilchos Yerusha, according to this opinion, our son is a much stronger Yerush. He's a Yerush Midaraisa. Our husband's only Yerush Midarabanan. The Gemara means Ishta Kegufa, which is a halacha concept. Someone who's married should feel less than 2 years before a Yovel. Does that feel go to the Kahanim by the Yovel year? Because it wasn't redeemed. Amrei my datach, the nigrach merkecha, for how you betseisa beyoivel. So what you're assuming is, and this goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of this year, when it's less than 2 years from yoivel, this entire redemption process of giving one sell per year doesn't apply. So we would assume what the Torah is teaching us is, the baskeroin in, only when this redemption process is applicable, that's when we do it. The lab askeroin, then the kohanim don't get it. Adrabba. So the Gemara says no. Im lo yogel hasada, if the field is not redeemed, v'haya hasada b'tzeis v'yovel, v'haya na'im baskuli. It can be redeemed. It can be redeemed for the whole 50 shekel. And therefore, if it wasn't redeemed, it goes to the kohanim. Gola echemin kohanim. Ton rabban, l'koyin tiach hazasoy, ma tam aloymer. Menayin l'sada shiyotz l'kohanim b'yovel. A field that's going to go to the Kahanim by Yovel. The Gola Echemen Kahanim. And one of the Kahanim is the person that redeemed that field before Yovel. Menayim Shlo Yovel. How do we know that the Kohen may not say, Hoyev Yotzel Kahanim. Since this field goes to the Kahanim, and I am from that Mishmar, as I said in the Mishnah, Harei Tachas Yodi V'deishali, it's already by me, let it remain by me. V'dinhu, B'shalachayim Mani Zoycha, I'm a member of this Mishmer, and I'm going to get all the steyachuzes that are going to be distributed. B'shal atzmi lekashke, certainly a field that I already have a hold on, I should be allowed to keep. B'shal atzmi lekashke, atamalayim achuzasoy. Achuzah shaloi. Only your own achuzah do you get by Yovel year. V'ainzah shaloi. But this is not purely yours. You would pider it from Hegdish, but it's not your steyachuzah. Haketzah, what should be done? He should give it back to the Hegdish, and it's divided to all the Kahanim of that Mishmer, and he's one of the Kahanim of that Mishmer, he'll get a portion, but he won't be able to keep the entire field by himself.